This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat? More testosterone? More energy? Better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple of weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show, yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recover PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition or boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom.
All right, next one's from Don Keek on the subject is Khan versus Soraya. Conan, I think it was you who said on the show that people getting buried on TV is 99.99% due to backstage heat.
So I never said 99.9% due to backstage heat. That's incorrect.
So it might be backstage. So I got to ask you about the booking of Soraya. I mean, it's just been total, utter, uncut dog shit. I've heard in the past that she can be tough to deal with. Do you think that it's possible that Tony Khan is booking her so badly because of backstage heat? Maybe just because Tony Khan is so talentless at booking? Soraya's forced retirement, return to the ring should have been a huge deal, yet it turned out to be an even bigger dud than Lacey Evans' latest run. Joe, tell Hughie to set his WATP contacts after Billy. I want to see that meltdown. What is WATP?
That's
That's Who Are These Podcasts? It's like a parody show, makes fun of other shows.
Yeah, okay,
basically.
And that's like a Get My Go.
Yeah, but more
already
successful.
Done that, so too late.
I have no clue what the booking whether there's heat or them.
Well, here, so, the thing is that if you think that he's doing it because she has heat, then a lot of people must have heat. Because tell me what has been booked very well, like
right.
You know what I'm saying? That seems to be a big problem there.
I think I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Tony picks up. I don't know his booking stuff. Like I've heard he has this. He charts everything out, and he was talking about he inverted the charts. Like I don't know if he just says has like all his booking planned. Like when those old booking games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how were they predicated? Because that's what he used to do, right? Those booking games.
Yeah, it was predicated on star ratings in the matches and attendance and buy rates. And
are you serious?
It was pretty well involved, yeah. The games are pretty involved.
But would you book like long term? Is that the way it was designed?
Yeah, you book storylines and then you book your matches and angles
to
push storylines further, yeah.
So obviously, to me, it looks like that's what Tony does. He books everything out months in advance. And he never adjusts based on organic developments that happen like in the middle of angles and stuff or anything.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually took his ideas and his card and ran them through the game to see what the game said. That's just my take, though. Yeah.
Interesting. But no lie. Star ratings were actually a thing that was factored in.
Yeah. If you wanted to play that way. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I just think that Tony's main problems are he's booking by himself. For a company with over 200 wrestlers.
And five shows now.
Right. And five shows. Okay. Including the Jericho Cruise, nothing. And he's still a novice, bro. He's been doing this for 3 years. I can't understand how anybody in 3 years, even if you have been a lifelong fan, would know all the nuances and all the tricks. And because there's no substitute for the experience. This is not an easy job. Sounds easy. Anybody can say, oh, well, why don't you put this guy against this guy? Why don't you put this guy against this guy? Well, you're dealing with a lot of egos. You're dealing with people that are, you know, get injured. You're dealing with people that don't like each other. You're dealing with a lot of variables that you don't even know about, you know, and a lot of the wrestlers are marks for themselves. It's a lot of bullshit. But anyways, so, you know, he's got a lot on his plate and, you know, I think he suffers from not having help.
Next is from Long Grande Wang. Subject is Corbin. I just want to say first that Billy sucks, and I'm also enjoying seeing Conan getting healthier week by week on the video mailbag. You're a handsome man, Conan. You want to go on a date with me sometime? Let's kazoo this, and also let's suspend him. Right.
Joe laughs when this is not even funny.
Yeah, I'm writing this.
I thought the suspension was funny.
I'm writing this week to ask about Baron Corbin. Right now, his role in the show seems to be that he's there to put over the top babyfaces on Raw, and that's about it. He's great at playing the heel, and he gets all the right reactions. My question for Conan is, what do you see as his future? I love the unlucky Corbin gimmick, but I also think his career has peaked. If WWE do roster cuts in May, wouldn't shock me to see Corbin on that list. What do you think? Well, there's no way he... Bro, the guy, like, you know, regardless of what people... Like the problem with him is the internet wrestling community has never really liked the guy. But people in the know that watch him and, like, saw the stuff that he's been placing... He kind of makes the best out of everything they give him. You know, it's not his fault. Like they gave him the thing to make him a down and out loser, and he embraced it and it was one of the most entertaining things on TV for a while.
Well, let me tell you this. I went to see him in whenever they did the WrestleMania in Dallas, maybe 6 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And he was in a match for NXT, and it was absolutely brutal. He had no charisma, didn't know how to work the crowd. His work was okay, but he's a lot like Sheamus. Bro, he became a lot better. He's good on the mic. He's a good worker. He's got a devastating finish. He's got good size. I mean, he can go. But this is, to me, creative's fault, what they did with him and JBL, because you had a guy that could, even though Baron can talk, you had a even better talker in JBL, and that whole thing went to shit, you know, and that's creative's fault.
Yeah. Next is, okay, people are going to think this is my burner account, okay? It's from Melina Hoff, Luno. Hey, K100, I was wondering why AEW would put Evil Luno in the main event against Jon Moxley. We never even knew that Moxley was going to win. I personally think that Evil Luno should get in shape. Same for Eddie Kingston. They may think that's body shaming, but it's not. They put Evil Uno in the main event because, like, and then, you know the funny thing? Remember that tweet that got me so much heat where I I called Evil Uno a fat wrestler with tits.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And it was harsh. You know, we'd already discussed this, but but my point of the tweet was because like when the ratings came out. Okay, that segment I guess like gained like 30,000 viewers. Okay, and when I said that's not how you draw viewers, I was referencing like if you think the way to draw viewers is you take a guy that shouldn't be in the main event and we're going to put him there. And to kind of keep the numbers, we're going to have him bleed all over the place. My point is, like, that's not a good booking philosophy, you know, something like taking like, but we're going to have him bleed so people don't change a channel. That's my point that I was making about that. There's never been any instance on this show where you would look at Evil Uno and say that guy should be in a main event match with all the talent. Think about all the guys they have on that roster. Evil Uno is literally one of the last people you'd put in a main event on that show. Again, would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep. Yeah. He did cut a good promo though.
Promos sound corny. They sound like a kid. Sounds like a Mark.
No, the backstage one, not the in-ring one. The right. Backstage one where he was telling him, "You don't believe in us," to Adam Page. You know, you think you're better than us. I thought that was a good promo.
Every time the guy opens his mouth, I just think it's like this is not an incredible professional wrestler. It looks like a fan with a mask on.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't disagree with that part.
Right. Next is from Stephen Homburg, and the subject is Jey Uso. Hey, guys, hope you're all doing well. Roman's run as a champion has been fantastic, but with Mania coming, I can't help but think that Cody isn't the one to beat Roman. But his cousin Jey is for the story of the bloodline to come full circle again, and Jey be the one to take the title from Roman. What do you guys think? What do you kings think, he says. Now, I think it's about time for Roman to get beat because the bloodline's kind of having turmoil. I think a better thing to the storyline would be if Roman loses and maybe one of them screws up and something you wouldn't expect.
Not just that, Disco, and this is the reason I didn't want to give it to Sammy. I think if Cody loses, he loses a lot of momentum.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And he needs to be skyrocketed right now.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And plus, he's a good-looking kid, well-groomed, well-dressed.
Popular
and good crowd reactions, and him walking out.
But Cody's got a weird look, bro. He reminds me like a used car salesman mixed with a TV evangelist, you know, and a politician.
Well, those
like
are all,
he comes
off
as very kind of unsavory.
Right. So Conan,
what up?
I've been training, and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every right. day. What a product! Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking, I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Instacart shoppers know groceries. They know that you can't make guacamole with rock-hard avocados. They know how to quickly find those peanut butter pretzels you can never find. And they keep you in the know by giving you updates about your order along the way. Let Instacart shoppers help take shopping off your plate so you can get time and energy back for what really matters. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.
Next is from Frank Ram, and the subject is Sapphire Gentleman's Club. What's up, fellas? Hope all is well. Questions for the Superior One Disco. On several shoot interviews, Kevin Nash has talked about how great his time was as a bouncer at a few strip clubs. He always said, ain't nobody late to work when they're working at a strip club. I know you've talked about turning wrestling bookings because of your job at Sapphire's, but if one of the major companies offered you a full-time backstage gig, would you take it or stay at Sapphire's, and why? Thanks and God bless, Frank Ram from Azusa, California. P.S. F that buckethead liberal snowflake buffoon KG. And Billy knows the sports, and that's all what really matters. He brings a lot to the show. The haters need to relax. Interesting. I like my job, and it's like it's a decent enough income that it would all be about money if I left to go back to, you know, it have to be. It definitely.
Plus, you also know that you're going to be confronting a lot of stress and bullshit.
Yeah.
Which you probably don't have as much at Sapphire's.
Right.
You have a high amount of stress in Sapphire's?
Not really. But yeah. Next is from Joseph Matarilliano, and the subject is mailbag. What's up, K100 crew? Questions for D.I. Conan, the Philly entrepreneur. Joe, what happened to I told you to wear a shirt and tie and start going as Joseph Feeney Jr. III. What happened to that?
I got to go to the men's warehouse and get something.
You don't have a shirt and tie?
I got to get sized. I got a shirt. I don't got no ties.
Do you think that Tony Khan listens to the show? Ever since my email calling for AEW to stop panning to the crowd singing Judas, it has been toned down considerably. Is it possible TK is listening or maybe has a 250 wrestler sitting catering listening and taking notes? P.S. D.I., the Discord requests some more interaction from you. We know you cruise it once in a while, but maybe take a break from the other type of cruising and become a mainstay. Nothing? Joe Matarilliano.
Pop.
I see. I lurk on the Discord because I get the notifications. So if there's something that like interests me in the notification,
he's a lurker slash warrior slash cruiser.
But I don't know if you guys want me in that Discord because you're all going to get. I've seen the comments. Like everybody's going to get suspended, you know, for disrespect. So, I mean, seriously, Joe, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be a snitch, but. Is there a lot of disrespect in the Discord?
There's a lot of jokes. I think they're just like this email said, I think they're trying to lure you back in. It's like a mousetrap, you know, they're talking shit to try to see if you react.
Bro, let me tell you something about Tony. I would not be surprised if he does listen to the show, even though I don't.
How the YouTube clips.
How?
For sure.
No. But I think this is what I think. I think he has somebody that gets clips and gives it to him because he's told me stuff verbatim that we said on the fucking show.
Really?
Yes.
Next is from get a hefty mailbag this week. A
little bit.
Next is from Eddie Gonzalez, and subject is love. Good day, kind gents. Enough of the lame wrestling questions. How'd y'all celebrate Valentine's Day? Were there any chocolate-covered cherry hand jobs that night? Your friend of the end, Eddie Gonzalez. I'm going to suspend you, Eddie.
No, there weren't because you were too busy giving them out.
Ooh. Yeah, so that's a suspension for Eddie Gonzalez for a week. Next one's from Alexis Figueroa. Subject is Disco and Jackie. Hello, team. Question for Disco since he wanted Jackie to go over.
This is going
to
be another suspension, by the way.
Couldn't you work out so you go over later at the hotel? Jackie was fine back then. P.S. Thanks for bringing one of the best guests. Alexis Figueroa, suspension, 1 week. Next one's from...
I like Stevie Ray because he came in on a very militant tip.
Yeah, he did. I like Stevie Ray too a lot. Yeah. I'm not trying to hook up with them. Bro, this is so weird in Vegas. So Gervonta Davis and Garcia, they announced the fight and the date. They still haven't announced the venue yet, though. Very really? Weird. Yeah.
And it's next month.
I know.
Yeah.
Next is from Urban Solis. Well, you know what? Actually, because of boxing, I think the tickets just go fast anyway. So Urban Solis, subject is WWE writers. Hello, gentlemen. A few months ago, the one and only Disco Inferno took literally 10 seconds to create a story for Rey Mysterio. If I remember correctly, Disco gave the idea of having Santos Escobar treat Mysterio like an older but about to retire cartel boss, with Escobar acting like the young boss. Yesterday during SmackDown, there was a skip between the two of them, and it seems like WWE is going with this angle. It is obvious that someone with power in the WWE listens to the show. The reason I know this is because Conan gave the idea of the bloodline angle before there was even a bloodline. So question, Disco and Conan, if WWE were to offer you guapos a writer job, would you take it? Oh, and Conan, have you ever been a real famous cartel boss? If so, thank you guys. F-U-K-G. The last question first. Conan, have you ever met a real famous cartel boss?
Yeah, a lot. A whole lot. Yes.
Wow. I haven't. Okay. If they were to offer me and Conan the writing job, I think the writing job is like $500,000 a year there. If you feel like you're head writer. So I would definitely, me and Conan, I think would probably definitely take that job. If the actual going rate that they pay those guys is the same. Would you agree with that, Conan? If they offered the thing, they called us up and said, first shoot that that we want to hire you and Disco to write this show. Would you say yes?
Probably.
I would too. Why not? Right. For that kind of money, it's going to be a huge pay raise.
Plus we have a lot of good friends there.
Right. Got a lot of good friends and a lot of good ideas. And plus too, I don't, you know, that idea that I had was just because, you know, the Santos Escobar thing, which it looks like they're doing, it just was kind of an obvious thing because they've got kind of well-defined characters on that show. So that wasn't a real, you know, like anybody else could have kind of maybe thought of that if you're thinking characters, you know, stuff. But I like it. I like the fact that, and this is the thing with Santos Escobar. During this angle with Ray, he's got to do something really heelish at some point to let everybody know it's like, okay, this is not a good guy just because he's giving props to Eddie Guerrero. He's still a cartel guy. And they're the worst, but they do show respect for their elders and like the, you know, the priests and stuff.
Yeah, but I think he's a baby face right now.
I'm aware of that, which is why I think he should do something really heelish.
Yeah, I don't think right now though. I think right, have them together and then have them turn on him. That's what I did.
No, I'm not saying turn on Ray.
Yeah,
just do something heelish
that'll make Ray second guess
and make Ray kind of a little uncomfortable with their relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's to me.
Yeah,
that's
just add a little layer, another layer.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, if you guys got offered those contracts to write for WWE and you both take them, what the hell happens to me?
Oh, we bring you on to.
Well, you're a really funny guy. So
I need show.
I'm sure you and Hughesley will find.
No, we would never give up the podcast.
I do a temporary K100 and replace you guys like with.
No, we'd be like Bruce Pritchard. We'd still
replace
keep
us. If anything, you should replace yourself.
Who's going to take my place?
We would. Keep
I'm sure there's a lot of guys. Yeah.
Joe, I would never let you go. I would always keep you in some kind of capacity. Right?
Appreciate it.
I would let you go.
I know.
Next up to Ryan Damone, the subject said MJF peaked. What is going on with MJF? Did he already peak after his feud with CM Punk? Since then, what has he done? He cut a silly Katie Vick promo, ruined his feud with Wardlow, wore a silly devil mask that was never explained, had now cut another shocking promo on how he wants to take pills because his girlfriend broke up with him. Besides his cartoonish promos, he's also going bald. Really? I did not notice this.
Do you think
he's already peaked, especially for WWE TV? I bet in 2 years, Stax from the NXT will be a bigger star than MJF.
That's a common viewpoint right now. On Twitter and like articles and shit, that MJF's become kind of repetitive. Do you guys
But that's
feel
not it? His fault. They're booking the exact same angle. He does the exact same angle, and he comes up there and just has to – he just has to deliver on the mic and be edgy to try to stay relevant because his angles are – bro, these angles are lame.
Okay, tell me one person, Joe, that's better on the mic than him in that promotion.
I don't know about better, but I mean Jericho and Moxley are your top mic guys.
I said better.
Right. No, I can't name anybody.
So he's not still.
He's on a whole nother level, dude.
Right.
And if you guys can't, you know, this guy right here obviously doesn't like him. It's like when Billy talks shit about Cody, it's like you can't convince him because he already has a predetermined hate for him, just like Joe does for Joe Biden. So if you can't open up your mind to understand this is one of the most – this guy's on a whole nother level, dude. Do I actually need to explain it to you? He's on a whole nother level. Bad booking seems to be something that's followed not just him, but a lot of people.
Right. Well, that's a big one.
Imagine him in WWE going back and forth with a plethora of guys, from Sami Zayn to Kevin Owens to Riddle to Orton to so many people he could – bro.
It's kind of funny that, like, this past year especially, we saw like the bloodline really just flourish, right. You know, like I say, and to the point they've gained their audience is growing, right? And to like one of the better story angles of all time. Well, the Meltzer Awards came out, and like anybody that's like objectively watching wrestling and like turning stuff would just assume that like the top awards would be going to Roman, whoever's writing SmackDown, the Usos.
Right.
But unfortunately, no. The top awards are, you know, best on promos you think would be Sammy, Roman, all the bloodline guys stuff. But no, it's, you know, it's MJF, Moxley, Dynamite, and the Book of the Year says Tony Khan. And that's, you know, so I don't know. I did, the funny thing, Dave had a comment this past week that Joe sent this to us, where the Ariel Helwani, did you listen to the clip, Conan, that Joe sent the email?
I don't know which one.
Just a real quick
clip.
I think
we listened to it late,
just,
late
just
week,
he said
it?
He just said basically Meltzer was talking about the Ariel Tony spat, and Dave actually said this. He goes, "Yo, I have to look at this objectively." He goes, "I look at things objectively.
Right.
Like I'm not like, I don't take sides." Like, what? It's like, dude, all you got to do is look at the people that read your stuff and listen to your show, who they voted for their awards. It's like it's very obvious that you have a bias, you know. So, like, yep. if you don't think that Roman Reigns is the best wrestler on the planet right now, it's like you do not know what you're talking about. You know, I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he didn't vote. It was the fans, right?
Fans, yeah, wrestlers,
the fans of his,
journalists,
of his views, the fans that read his material, the fans that, you know. So, I don't know. I don't want to. We could get a week Meltzer's ratings all day, but we did enough last week. I liked our rankings better, actually. Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. The Grange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just
Thank
one
God.
Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern Belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. And it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your bearded hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil too, and this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. So pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with 3 free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
If he's interested.
Yeah, he's interested in that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think, right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next is from Theo Combo. The subject is modern body shaming. What's good, K100 crew? I randomly came across this article from the Sportster, which seems to be a pro wrestling news website. 10 most hideously muscular physiques in wrestling history. Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, and Big Papa Pump all made the list. From what I understand, Scott Steiner is considered to have the greatest physique in wrestling history. Ironic how this was just published days after the AEW showcased Evil Uno in their main event, subjecting the public to his 300-pound chewed bubblegum physique. The majority of their list is laughable at best. My question is this a perfect example of woke culture intertwining itself into pro wrestling? I don't believe a pro wrestling website would have published this kind of piece 20 years ago, and that's NWO for life. Theo, let me explain something to you. When you see something from the Sportster, go and click and look who wrote it and ask yourself, have I ever heard of this guy before?
Ethan Schlabaugh.
Who?
Ethan Schlabaugh.
Is that an Indian? Oh, because they got a lot of people from India, right?
Yeah, well, his name's Ethan.
Oh, Ethan Schlabaugh. What's the last name?
Schlabaugh. It's up on the screen. S-C-H-L-A-Ball.
Oh, you got it up on the screen?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so let me explain something to you, Mr. Theo. Bro, anybody can publish, can write a thing and publish it. Anybody these days. Ian Schlabaugh, like, this is his opinion of the this is not a historical fact. This is just some schmuck mark that wrote an article that's showing what an idiot he is, you know? So, whatever. I mean,
yeah, it's a little, I was scrolling it out. It's a strange list.
Ethan Schlabaugh, should we invite Ethan Schlabaugh on the show to discuss it?
Why not?
Next is from Randy Vasquez. The subject is war in Ukraine. Hey, guys, do you think we should stop the blank checks to Ukraine? And if not, how long until Zelensky asks for our troops to come and help? I get trying to stop Putin before he potentially starts to gobble up territory, but we have a ton of problems here at home. Thanks for all the great content, Randy Vasquez. I don't understand why in the year 2023 we're at war, we're giving money, and like this could all be just – why are they not negotiating a peace settlement?
Because Putin doesn't want to.
No. I heard Zelensky doesn't want to because Zelensky was told by Boris Johnson they were supposed to go to the negotiating table, and Boris Johnson told him not to.
Told
Zelensky not to.
And why would he listen to him? Why would he continue to let his people being slaughtered? Bro, remember that Putin told Boris Johnson, hey, you're not that far away. You know, my missiles can reach Britain. He's kind of like – the thing with Putin is that he's a strong man, and he always has to appear strong, and he doesn't want to do anything right now because it's going to look like he's weak, you know, kind of like Trump, who would never admit he was wrong because it would look weak. And I think that, first of all, the United States is part of NATO, so one of their mission policies is to help anybody in need. And obviously, this guy already took Crimea. You know, he feels that Ukraine was and it used to be part of Russia, but it isn't anymore. You know, and he's trying to gobble that up. So you have to help them. They're our allies.
I'm aware of that. But at some point, what are we just going to like an endless infinity fight?
Of course not.
They're not going to march into Moscow and take over Moscow. So you got to negotiate.
The problem is
why not do it now?
Okay, neither you nor I know who it is, but I'm sure that the United States has probably said to Putin and to Zelensky, hey, let's try to work this out. And one of the two, you say Zelensky, I think Putin doesn't want to do it. Or if not, it would have been done to at least save face, you know. But, you know, I think that Putin doesn't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't want it to seem like it's a loss, and he's going to continue. That's what I think. I don't know.
Well, let's just break it down into this question then. Do you think we're headed towards another world war with all this? Do you think in the next 5 years?
Well, that's the way we're headed.
Because Russia Iran sending Russia all kinds of drones.
The car is driving in that direction.
For sure.
Okay. Need to turn the car around.
This is what I think. If Russia's stupid enough to use nuclear weapons, and if Biden has the balls, like he's been saying, we're never going to, you know, leave them alone. Bro, the moment that Russia bombards Ukraine, he's going to be bombarded by France, England, Germany, and everybody else. He's going to be done, bro.
Because they're part of NATO. Russia's aligned with China and Iran, too.
I read something somewhere.
Doesn't mean China's going to come to their defense.
That literally, if there's a nuclear war starts, within like an hour, it could be the planet could be devastated.
And do you know how many missiles the United States has given Saudi Arabia for Iran, who they hate each other?
Oh, there's tons of people.
You're counter checking each other. You're like, all right, I'm going to bomb this guy, but these guys are going to bomb me. Is it worth it?
I don't know.
I'd rather we address a lot of the problems we have here before we go on this usual American, we got to save everyone around the world interference.
Yeah, it's just
you can't leave your allies alone because guys like Putin will take over. That's kind of a dumb remark. That's why we have a military. Ukraine. And then after Ukraine, it's Finland. And then after Finland, it's Sweden. They're not going to stop. Once they see that we didn't have the balls to stop him, he's going to continue.
He's not going to attack NATO countries. That's not going
to. This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Happen. There's right. There's too many enemies. This is Ukraine.
All right. They're an ally. They're an ally. Should we let them take that whole country over just because he wants to?
No, but like the whole thing started. Like, we have all these narratives here, right? The United States started, the NATO started pushing east. Like, what we're saying, like, there's an unprovoked attack. This is not an.
They were not encroaching in nobody's.
They absolutely. There's tons of,
What country were we encroaching? Which one?
The Soviet Union. Bro, here's the thing. Putin is like, he doesn't want his borders bordered by hostile countries. Okay.
Well, who does?
So now, NATO started, they want to add Finland, they want to add Sweden, stuff. Bro, tell me if they're getting closer to Russia. Like, NATO is actually trying to get closer to Russia. Bro, Russia's not coming to the United States. But that's the thing with us. It's like the European, that's why Trump wanted to get out of this, the NATO thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are we footing the major foot of the bill? We're a continent away. The European countries are the ones that should be worried about this.
And look at how large the bill has gotten for Ukraine at this point.
And then now it's like costing us all this money because we're the money marks.
Isn't
that unbelievable that like the United States is a money mark on the planet Earth? Like anytime these countries need money, we print it and just send it. It's unbelievable. Like it's
well, the thing is that you run the risk that if you don't help them, then they go like what happened with Cuba. They go asking the Soviet Union for help or China, who they're going to help them. So that's the problem that you face.
Okay, so then the thing, fight or negotiate?
I just told you, I think that I know they should negotiate, but one of the two parties obviously doesn't want to. And I think it's Putin. You don't. You think it's Zelensky. I don't know.
I know it's Zelensky.
You don't know that because you're not there. You don't know. You don't know.
I've been following this stuff.
Were you in the room with Zelensky when he said no? No.
We're gonna circle back. I'm gonna find some stuff for anything to read to you. On the subject here, but I don't have it off the top of my head. I got to look.
There's something here. Just we can real quick.
I don't want to get in. I want to move on until we get more versed, and we'll bring the discussion back up until we've had some chance to listen. Okay, next is from Alex Malone. The subject is blading. Hello, squad. I have a theory that some wrestlers who blade constantly, for example, Moxley or Flair when he was his Twilight, end up doing it as a kind of sanctioned self-harming due to emotional pain, whether they realize it or not. Conan and Disco, with your time in the industry, do you think this theory has any merit in my snowflake? Cheers. That's from Alex. That's a very fascinating point, Alex. It's like, you know, people that, you know, people like there's girls at work. I had a girl the other day at work. Okay. I'm not going to say who it is, obviously. But she
like
recently
anybody's going to know who she is.
She recently had an abortion. Okay. And she's been having trouble with the fact that she had an abortion because it's haunting her.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that she cuts herself.
Yeah, I've seen
it. And she showed me her arm that she had cuts. Right? And so people with emotional pain, like, you know, stuff like that, like the things that haunt them, the cutting is a mechanism of people. Like, you could look at psychologists. Like, so people that cut themselves constantly, like Moxley, like Flair, could be dealing with emotional pain that they just can't kick out of. What do you think about that, Conan?
I don't know. If it could be, it's possible. Like, I bladed a lot in Mexico, because all my feuds were blood feuds.
Be very specific. Like, say for instance, how many over a 2 month period? How many nights would you work, and how many nights of those would you
blade? If I was in a feud that needed blood, mm-hmm. I would probably in a 2 month period, I would probably bleed twice a week.
Interesting. Like the big houses, you bleed. Right. And how often would you have to, like, how many times did you have feuds or you had to bleed? Like
every feud?
Every feud. Because to me, I had a formula, you know, right. and it always included blood, you know. I would always start off like in a 3-on-3 match, then a 2-on-2 match, then a 1-on-1 match. And then that 1-on-1 match, we would extend it and do like we would have a no DQ match. And then it would usually end up in a cage or something. So I would extend it as long as I could. And most of those matches needed blood. And then when we went to a place where it was really hot and it was sold out, that's what people wanted to see. I bled we both did, because people just, once they saw blood, they became more emotional, more involved, more like, oh shit, this is real, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to bring up.
The heat got bigger.
I want to bring up a discussion here on this set, right?
Right.
So what do you think now? Like in the year 2023, you know, that was back in the early 90s, right?
Right.
Okay. So, to the point, like, you know, when you have a blood feud, it's predicated on the amount of heat you're getting because the people are invested in the angle and they're suspending disbelief and they're buying into that it's real. Okay. So now let's fast forward like 30 years. You know, and here we are in 2023, and you got guys still bleeding and stuff and things. But like in the big picture, since nobody thinks it's real, and they're literally showing themselves doing it and everything, bro, this just comes across as self-mutilation to try to get ratings.
Like, I think the biggest problem about blading nowadays, Disco, is because in Mexico, which is a whole different culture, mm-hmm. very different than the United States in many ways, just like Japan is, just like everybody doesn't think like Americans.
Right.
Like when you bleed in Mexico, people still get hot like 20 years ago. Fucking get. And so, but here's a problem in the United States, especially in AEW. It just comes off as gratuitous, you know?
Right.
I mean, when Moxley is wrestling every week, he wrestles somebody different, usually with very little to no buildup. Why are you bleeding?
Right. Because maybe this, what this guy's email says, the bleeding is a mechanism because he's dealing with emotional pain. He has to cut himself.
I'm not going to say what you're expecting me to say.
Because really, there was a point where he went, like we said, we see the videos. He's not even hiding it. He's just pulling his blade out and just cutting himself right in front of everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that. And the fault is on two people, him and the camera guy. Bro, you're in a truck, right? For people that don't know. And I'm sure you've seen this on TV.
The camera's
You're in a truck. There's various screens. And the director of camera is saying, camera one, camera two, camera three. Bro, the moment that he saw him take out that blade, he should have switched to another camera angle. Yeah.
He was in shock. The guy was in shock, right? Yeah. Next is from Neil DeMude, and the subject is Michael Buffer in WCW. Hey, Conan Disco. I'm a fairly new listener to the show. Love the show and appreciate your hard work. I'm a huge sports fan. Appreciate your insights along with Billy's. My question is about Michael Buffer, WCW. Recently watched the 1997 War Games in which Conan was a participant. Buffer introduced every competitor as they entered the cage. I thought it added excitement to the match and gave it a big fight feel. Just wonder if you guys liked his work in wrestling or if he wasn't knowledgeable enough and prone to mistakes. And that's from Neil from Ontario, Canada. I was a big, huge fan of Michael Buffer. I was always very nice to him. We always very cordial, and he always had a hot young German girl with him.
No, she's Russian.
Russian. German, I thought.
Russian.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think she was German, right?
Yeah.
Either way, foreigner. And he was very respectful to the business. And Michael Buffer back then was hot. Like, that's how hot WCW was. Like, Michael Buffer was an icon. And, like, you know, and we had him announcing main events every week on the show. Like, you know, the Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
He was very professional, on time, you know, very right. Cool, not a big head.
Well,
and I remember. Yeah. And I remember that. He asked me one day, he goes, hey, if I wanted to say ladies and gentlemen in Spanish, how would I say it? And then I told him, and he goes, does it translate well? And I go, it translates perfect. That's why when you hear him now saying, damas y caballeros.
Oh, yeah, so that started with you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Next is from Solomon Hunt. The subject is crowd reaction. Solomon from Temecula, California. Where's
Temecula?
Is that there near San Diego, right?
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes away to an hour.
So I'm watching some of the new product, how the crowd interacts with wrestlers nowadays, and I think back to the days of my childhood watching heels get blasted with drinks, popcorn, funny-ass signs in the crowd, etc. What happened to wrestling? Like, when did that stop? Was it a gradual elimination, or was it all at once? Are fans just as much pussies as the PG product? Was that what killed it? So many questions.
Well, go ahead. Let me give you my viewpoint. I think that what happened was is back in the day, the fans were really crazy, just like society was. It was very edgy with the gangster rap and grunge and everything that was happening in society. And, you know, now they're all nerds, you know.
Oh, I got a perfect.
A lot of them are nerds.
Perfect piggyback off that. I just thought of this, just as you think. And plus two, okay, and like you can see this in other genres of television. Bro, the show was getting huge ratings and everybody knew it. So when people would go to the show, they would they try to get on camera.
Yeah.
Like they, you know, they bring Sunday, they try to stick out and get attention because they know that this is like one of the hottest shows on TV. Maybe as wrestling's lost that luster being one of the hottest shows on TV, that the fans aren't really like as energetic about like showing up and
no, I just think that it changed the fans was a lot of nerds, a lot of snowflakes.
Right.
You know,
can see in the crowd when the camera's on them, people are kind of like they have that look like shy, like embarrassed that they're being seen by the camera. You know, like that's very noticeable these days. You notice that?
Yeah, a lot of social awkward people. Just, you know, it's changed. It's a different demo now. You know, I think all the cool people watch UFC.
Yeah. Next is from Lus Giesman, and the subject is AEW house shows. There's another guy that's triggered by Billy here. First of all, Billy always cries about nameless and faceless Twitter. Just think about this. Billy has got skills because he literally gets people that send questions in, and this is what they're saying, right? Billy always cries about nameless and faceless Twitter accounts. Can you please ask him why he has three Twitter accounts without his name or face on them and spends all day arguing with people online? He's a guy in his mid-40s. Just because his download numbers are in the teens, it doesn't mean he has to act like one. So just recently, Tony Khan announced that AEW are soon to begin their plans. I don't know what dates they are, but I have to ask you guys. Is this good or bad for AEW business? Dave Meltzer himself reported that AEW not had good tickets for a while now, and that is with AEW still being a new product that only records one to two times per week. This is not a new product, by the way. I'm tired of that now. But what is the diminishing point of returns where it's not a new product anymore, right? He even said that the venue for AEW Revolution, which has been built up for months, is undersold and likely won't be sold out by Showtime. So will AEW do even more shows, making themselves seem less exclusive, cost them or help them in the long run? P.S. Joe, I know you're a Guns N' Roses guy, but are you really going to pay those prices for the tickets for the 2023 tour? There's always a great night out, but $300 bucks for Guns N' Roses. I'd go see Guns N' Roses for $300.
Man.
That's not that bad.
Yeah,
$300 for a hot show is – a sold out show is not bad at all.
It is always a good show, but they don't change much. They haven't put out a new record and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'll know when the time comes.
And Axel's still fat.
Yeah, and his voice is kind of, it's not as great as it was, you know.
He's fat. So that's
not as fat as Vince Neil, but, you know.
So let me see here. Yeah, look, the one thing that's been proven, okay, is that with the fan base in professional wrestling today, okay, big shows, big deals, outlier shows draw. But But trying to run on a daily basis, like I said, a lot of these. Remember when we had the thing where WWE, even though they're hot, they were having to cancel some house shows because of ticket sale. Because, like, bro, you can't. The fan interest is still not up to par to where you can just weekly and do house shows weekly. It's just not there. Big shows draw. Like every couple of months, you can have a big deal or stuff. And that's what AEW should do. They should go to a market that they're not having to have on TV in a while and load up a show and run a big show there and make it like a big deal. But not but doing like house shows in these small towns, bro, that's just going to be bad PR for them because you're going to have these shots of these small arenas and the seats aren't even full. You know what? I don't know. I mean, would you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're not as hot as they used to be. I don't know if this is a good time to do house shows. If you were, you'd have to do like, you know, in markets that you know you're going to draw and do it sparingly. They do need it because a lot of their wrestlers need reps. But I don't know if this is the moment to be doing house show. I would wait till the product got hot again.
Next is from Randy Hawkins. The subject is Karrion Kross versus Rey Mysterio. Hey, Feeny, Conan, Disco. We finally got a match between Karrion Kross and Rey Mysterio. A guy Disco knows Kross and a guy Conan knows of Mysterio. I know Mysterio too, Randy.
On Conan SmackDown, knows Kross.
It's like that. Actually, Randy Hawkins, Rey Mysterio is my neighbor. He lives in Vegas now. So I know. I'm closer to Rey than Conan is now. We all know Dom interfered to give Kross a win. What are your thoughts on the match? Can we get a rematch after Rey finally teaches Dom a lesson at WrestleMania? Thanks, and that's from Ray J. I thought that was a good piece of business for everybody involved. I think Kross needs to I watched Kevin's. There's moves that Kross used to do that he doesn't do anymore, and I think he should be doing more in his matches. He'd like that helicopter F5 where he just spins a guy and drops him. He doesn't do. He should do that every match. I don't know why he doesn't do that. So, but yeah, this is a good win for Kevin because he can like because his the other thing is he does really good vignettes and he does a good job of building up a fight. You know, and Dom, this was a good – that was a good spot. We went for the 619 and Dom just grabbed his feet. Like, that was very creative. What did you think of that, Conan?
Yeah, I thought that was great. He came from under the ring grabbed him, but that was perfectly timed.
Their finishes are – like, they nail their finishes because that's what's the most important part of the match.
Yeah, the finish.
The finish. And, like, so what's the big criticism that place gets is like when their finishes are distractions and corny and, you know, so like, and it falls flat. But when you have a very well timed finish like that, it's very good. So, next is from.
And they keep Kevin strong because he got his win back.
Yep. Rich Waugh, subject is Disco. What's up, gentlemen? First, I'd like to apologize for your previous email or ask you two to cut a promo on each other. Hey, Disco, you're one of the very few that pronounced my name right the first time. My question is for Disco. Given the right circumstances, would you ever appear on WWE TV? I know you're very busy. P.S. I'm not a Billy hater, but I thought it was funny as shit when he tried to slide a cheap joke in and Conan said, let me stop you right there, Big Mouth. Keep up the good work, fellas. bro, given the right circumstances, be money, period. That's, you know, I've gotten older, I'm finding myself, because I still work out hard. I still, you know, I find myself getting more tired sometimes. So it's like, I don't know if I'd be good for like having to wake up early and fly and, you know, I don't know. Next is from David Bentz. Subject is AEW heavyweight hate. It's gonna be interesting. I already know where this is going to go. Dear K100 crew, I understand that indie wrestling a lot sometimes is matches similar to TNA's old moniker of not being about weight limits. After seeing multiple matches with the likes of Will Hobbs, Samoa Joe, Lance Archer, and Brian Cage constantly take losses to opponents way smaller like Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, in fashion where they don't even look like dominant forces. I have to ask, does Tony Khan just not care much for heavyweights? Did the only exception to the rule be Wardlow? Regardless, this is all done possibly be looked upon as anti-Vince McMahon mentality, since Vince loved his top guys jacked with muscles. Thanks for taking my question. That's David from Sacramento. Conan, you answer this first.
I don't know. There might be something to that, but I can't talk for him. I don't know what he thinks or what his MO is. But yeah, a lot of really big guys are doing jobs of way smaller guys that doesn't even look believable.
Well, yeah, it doesn't set a good, like the universe they have set up for their show is very awkward. Like I don't like seriously, like this is the same show that had Jericho and MJF break out into a dance routine after they were eating dinner at a restaurant. Moxley's bleeding all over the place. The Dark Order is like talking about wanting to go get ice cream with the cowboy that dresses like a female like a cowgirl with his outfits and stuff with flowers on his
butterflies.
Things. And then you got the big guys losing to the small guys. Bro, it's almost like you could make a case that this show is like a parody of a show if you look at it from that perspective. Like they're doing the things that are opposite of the principles that we would suspend disbelief on, and they're taking all those principles and they're just throwing them out the window and doing the opposite. Well, what do you think about what I just said, Conan?
What do you say?
That kind of like the way they have their show set up with the there's a lot of comedy routines. You know, they had a Jericho and MJF break out into a dance routine. Small guys are always beating the big guys. It's like it's almost like you're doing a parody of the principles that the suspension disbelief are predicated on. It's like you're doing the opposite of that. And like
I think some of that is on purpose, just to like, you know, we're not traditional wrestling. This is who we are. We're different, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Oh, this is interesting. Just a headline. Michael Kupach, and the subject is Mark Podcast. Hello, gentlemen. I'm talking about Mark Podcast and how you don't really value their opinions on worker booking because they've never been in the business. That being said, why does Conrad get a pass from you guys? Seems to give his opinion on the business. He's been doing so for about 6 to 7 years now, and no one calls him out that he's never been in the business. Keep it 100. I think the only honest answer is because he can make me money and other marks can't, but maybe I'm wrong. Can you please enlighten me as why Conrad gets a pass on his take on what is going on or what went on in the wrestling world? And that's a shout out from Bam to Bam and Discord. I don't know if you listened to our Eric Bischoff interview, but the way that podcast is described is that it's Eric doing a podcast with a fan.
Yeah, answering the dirt sheets and whatnot.
And like he says,
it's correcting old stories.
It's like Conrad is the fan perspective. He's not trying to be. He's giving you the fan opinion.
My answer. So I don't really respect too much the opinion of fans. What are they going to tell me that I don't already probably know or seen or done? That's number one. Number two, there's exceptions to every rule. When you get a guy like Dave Meltzer, who he used to come to Tijuana way back before anybody even knew what Lucha Libre was, and he was covering it. Nobody else was doing that. And all the matches he's been to and all the big – he's been to more wrestling matches than I've been to, bigger events, probably watched more wrestling matches. So I respect his opinion, okay? When you get somebody like Conrad or Dan Lambert, who obviously don't try to come off as know-it-alls and are respectful and don't try to tell us, you know, oh, I know more than you or you're irrelevant or whatever it is. They're very respectful. You know, they're guys that they're very successful in what they do and they're big fans, but they're respectful and they're not trying to come off as know-it-alls or I know more than you. That's why they get a pass.
And plus Conrad, it's like Michael said in email, he's proven that he can make money through his formula, and he's also proven that he can.
But it isn't about money. Other jackoffs that are fucking, you guys have told me some guys that are doing big numbers and they're jackoffs. That to me doesn't mean anything. I'm talking about people being respectful, you know, well informed, you know, and that to me is the difference.
Right. But I'm saying if he's put together live events that have drawn, conventions that have drawn, he's proven that he's more than an average fan, you know?
Well, he's like definitely what, and he's very good at the interview process.
He's excellent.
Like, he's excellent at
that. He's good at everything he does.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Next is from Chad Gable, or subject is Chad Gable. I can't read this email. Hey, K100, Chad Gable seems to be the undercard guy that Mark seems to love to complain doesn't get the proper push because he's always weighed down with corny over-the-top gimmicks. The shush thing is super lame, played out. So my question to you guys is, do you think a name change would benefit Gable? How about something with some real firepower, like the Chadster?
Oh, boy.
I'll catch you on the flip side and look forward to your answer.
Suspend this guy.
Yeah.